Well, here's another reading for Ascension Week, this time by John Flavel, a Presbyterian pastor in England in the mid to late 1600s. It's entitled, Why Did Jesus Ascend? I answer, his ascension was necessary upon many and great accounts. For first, if Christ had not ascended, he could not have interceded, as now he doth in heaven for us. And do but take away Christ's intercession, and you starve the hope of the saints. For what have we to succor ourselves when under the daily surprises of sin, but to this? If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, 1 John 2:1. Mark that, with the Father, a friend upon the place, one that abides there on purpose to transact all our affairs and as a surety for the peace betwixt God and us. Secondly, if Christ had not ascended, you could not have entered heaven when you die, for he went to prepare a place for you. He was, as I said before, the first that entered heaven directly and in his own name, and had he not done so, we would not have entered when we die in his name. The forerunner made way for all that are coming in on their several generations after him. Nor could your bodies have ascended after their resurrection, but in the virtue of Christ's ascension. For he ascended, as was said before, in the capacity of our head and representative, to his Father and our Father, for us and himself too. Now if Christ had not ascended, how could we have been satisfied that his payment on the cross made full satisfaction to God, and that now God hath no more bills to bring in against us? How is it that the Spirit convinces the world of righteousness, but from Christ's going to the Father and returning hither no more? This gives evidence of God's full content and satisfaction both with his person and his work. And how should we have enjoyed the great blessings of the Spirit and ordinances if Christ had not ascended? And surely we could not have been without either. If Christ had not gone away, the Comforter had not come. He begins where Christ finished, for he takes of his and shows it to us. And therefore, it is said the Holy Ghost was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified in John 7:39. He was then given as a sanctifying spirit, but not given in that measure as afterwards he was to furnish and qualify men with gifts for service. And indeed, by Christ's ascension, both the Spirit's sanctifying and ministering gifts were shed forth more commonly and more abundantly upon men. These fell from Christ when he ascended, as Elijah's mantle did from him, so that whatever good of conversion, edification, support, or comfort you receive from spiritual ordinances, he has shed forth that which you now see and feel. It is the fruit of Christ's ascension. Now, did Christ ascend into heaven? Is our Jesus, our treasure, indeed there? Where then should the hearts of believers be but in heaven, where their Lord, their life is? Surely, saints, it is not good that your love and your Lord should be in two separate countries. Up and hasten after your lover, that he and you may be together. Christians, you ascended with him virtually when he ascended. You shall ascend to him personally hereafter. Oh, that you would ascend to him spiritually in acts of faith and love and desires daily. Up with your hearts. Sursum corda was the form used by the ancient church at the sacrament. How good it would be if we could say with the apostle, our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior. A heart ascendant is the best evidence of your interest in Christ's ascension. Secondly, but in the next place, see that you abuse not the Spirit whom God sent from heaven at his ascension to supply his bodily absence among us, and as the great pledge of his care for and tender love to his people. Now take heed that you do not vex him by your disobedience, nor grieve him by your unkindness, nor quench him by your sinful neglects of duty or abuse of light. Oh, deal kindly with the Spirit, and obey his voice, comply with his designs, and yield up to yourselves his guidance and conduct. Methinks to be entreated by the love of the Spirit should be as great an argument as to be entreated for Christ's sake. It is he that is the bond of union betwixt Christ and your souls, without which you would never have had interest in Christ or communion with Christ. It was He that so often has helped your infirmities when you knew not what to say, and comforted your hearts when they were overwhelmed within you, and you knew not what to do, and preserved you many thousand times from sin and ruin when you have been upon the slippery brink of it in temptations. It is He, in His sanctifying work, that is the best evidence your souls have for heaven.